Okay, now this halach is as follows. I've got quite a few questions on this as well, but we had to learn tuf kuf ein dalet. So look, is as follows. Heulich me mokim shem isanem, le mokim shem isanem, vidayet elach. So the first two see if I'm discussing what happens if there is a public fast in a particular place. Which place should we, for our time's purposes, which place should we, imagine it. I need a place that is fasting and a place that is not fasting. So Edgeway is fasting. Okay. Which place is not fasting?
Bushy
is not fasting. Okay. So Edgeway is
fasting.
Edgeway is fasting.
Yeah.
Edgeway is fasting and Bushy is not fasting. Good. Okay. So now what happens if you're going from a place which is fasting, going to Edgeware, and you're going to Bushy, and you're, well, it should be really further away, but just to get the idea, and you're just in a place that is not fasting for the day. Do you have to fast, or do you not have to fast? So this is quite similar. You will remember that this is quite comparable to the halachas of if you go to a place which keeps second the Yom Tov, you go to a place that keeps 2 days Yom Tov and you keep 1 day Yom Tov, or vice versa. So Mishael is, if you go from a place which is fasting to a place which is not fasting, and you intending to come back to Edgeware, you don't want to go anywhere else, right? You're going to come back to Edgeware. So are you fasting or not whilst you're in Bushy?
Yeah.
You're fasting in Bushy? You're the only one out there to fast. Fasting or not fasting?
On the
Sibbur. But you're not part of that Sibbur at the moment.
So
you're from Edgeware?
And you're going to Bushy.
Yeah, and Edgeware is fasting.
So you continue your fast.
The only one out there.
Yeah.
Okay. See if Aleph, Mamash, like you're saying, Hoylech Memokim, a person who goes Memokim from a place, Shemis Anim, which is fasting, Lemokim to a place, She'ein Mis Anim, to a place which is not fasting. Vidai Tolach, so an extension is to return back home, to home sweet home, in Edgeware. So echleis anois, you must fast. Kol taniois, all the fastest shekibaleim, which the community has accepted on themselves. You were in Edgeware when they accepted the fast. All right, so you got to stick to it now, even though you're in Bushy. Make sense? Makes sense. Oh, so you've based the other way around. Ha'olech memokim she'ein misanim. Okay, so now vice versa. You're still coming from, just, you're now coming from a place which is not fasting. You are now coming from Bushy. And you're going to Edgeware. Lemokim shemis anim. Edgeware is fasting, but you are a person from Bushy. His anim ohem, you must fast with the residents of Edgeware. Hafilu da'itolach, so although your intention is that you're going to return to Bushy, which is not fasting. Why? Now, Abay Sai, what happens if you have eaten already? So this is a Bushy person who is coming for the day to Edgeware, just for a few hours. You've had a juicy breakfast in Bushy. Bushy is not fasting. You had a good Bushy breakfast with egg, with what else? Yeah, you had it. Yeah, the whole lot. You had and you went for it, and now you're coming to Edgeware. After that breakfast, you had a brunch as well after that. And a bit of cake in between as well. Now you're coming to Edgeware. Should you fast or not? Is there any point in fasting or not? No. You're not part of the tzibur. So Chanoch says as follows. If you go to a place which fasts, you must fast with your place where you are now. Even if your plan is to return. Mishneh Bosef Cotton Paste teaches us, Af she'ochal hayoim, even if you ate today, koidem, prior she'boro, before you came to that town. So yeah, you may have had breakfast, but you're going to fast. The question, of course, is...
Why is sense. This is like, it's like if you, if there's a rabbinic tannis in the Sibra, and you eat. Isn't
there
halacha about being called up and things like that?
You can't you're right. Once you're broken in fast, he won't be able to. Yeah, you're right. He won't be able to be called up.
He still holds afterwards.
Yeah. So I'm. Yes, that's right. The rest of the fast, he should indeed be fine. Yeah.
And you continue the fast.
Yeah. Perhaps you complain about his headache as well. Man, that's probably no, but that, on in a serious, I don't understand what it means. It's like fasting between meals. What's that? What does that mean? What's considered? Why is that considered a fast? Once you've eaten already, so it's like very pretend, very very pretend. Stephen, what do you want to say? Yeah.
Didn't you mention a few weeks ago that?
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. No, it wasn't me. Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, what?
Somebody like you.
Okay.
Didn't you say if you're fasting and you break it for whatever reason before the end of the fast, is if you haven't fasted at all, you have to continue with the fast the whole way through.
Yeah.
So in your example there, if somebody I know from Bushy, which is not fasting, and you've eaten, you go to Edgware where they are fasting, what's the point of you fasting?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really.
You've already eaten.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that question. I'm not sure what is the concept of pretend fasting.
Isn't what Israel said, of course, about the Marasai?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's probably the answer. He goes in that world of Marasai, although you must. Yeah.
A pregnant woman feeding somebody's ill.
Yeah.
You can always have a havamina that this individual is eating
Reason. Yeah, you're right as well. That's true as well. If you see somebody eating, will you necessarily assume that he's breaking his fast for no reason? Or would you perhaps understand that he's eating because... why is there marriage so iron on a person that, you know, you could say perhaps he's not well, perhaps got a medical condition. It may be a good reason. When it's an interesting... Okay, continue the Shulchan Aruch, top of the page. Miu. Right. You've got to stick to the
Mokka.
You are right. This is the. You're right. The sugya is the same sugya. You're right, and the answer is you're ultimately right. This is what we're learning over here. The question that we're just trying to understand is that how does fasting fit in that picture? You know, doing melachas in public surely is a bit different. Fasting, right? Okay. The Maaseh, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. You must stick to the fast in that particular place. You may have eaten, but you may not. You may not eat in public. Miu, Kevin, top of the page. Miu, Kevin shall kibbel olav tainus. He himself has not accepted a tainus himself. Him yotzam in a ichutz tchum. If you're going out of the city, you're going out of Edgware, you find yourself in the distant jungle of, I know, you're selling in Elstree. Or you're finding yourself in like a... So now, or even actually beyond that, you've gone out of the M1. You're out of the tchum now. So now, what's the halacha now? You're not in Bushy and you're not in Edgware. Are you allowed to eat or not? You are a Bushy person. Bushy is not fasting. You went to Elstree. In Elstree they are fasting. Now you've exited Edgware. You're on outside the Chumad M1. May you or may you not eat?
You may
eat. Says Shulchan Aruch, Mutar le'achol ve'nitzoch la'ashlim. Of course you're allowed to eat. There's no reason why not. The only reason why you're not allowed to eat was because you're in a place... which is it? Which is fasting? Right, you're out of the tchum now, so it's fine. For davka shebole shom b'yom ha'tainus, that's only if you're entering Edgware when it's a tainus day. Avolim bole shom miboyd yoyim. But if you entered Edgware last night, tzorich lekabel ha'tainus v'tzorich la'shlimo. What happens if you enter Edgware when they are accepting the fast? Oh, well, then of course it's different. That's a different story. Because if everybody in Edra at that point is accepting a fast, you gotta fast with them. They've accepted Baminchana fast. Perhaps you're not involved in that falling of a Sefer Torah. Perhaps the reason why they fast has nothing to do with it. But you're now part of a shul, of a community which is fasting, accepting a fast. You've got to accept the fast with them.
Has there ever been Edgware, you know, where everyone at Edgware fasts? I mean, but because so many different shores.
Yeah, so you
would that really work? that just talking about...
If it's a cross-communal fast, which probably hasn't happened, you're right.
Yeah. Could it be a fast in one community, in one shul only? Because they say that the shul, they drop a safe Torah or whatever, so the whole shul...
Yeah, yeah, but then it's true, then you don't have to daven in that shul, you can daven in another shul. Yeah, so if you'd end up davening by in a shul, which is accepting a fast on himself, you wouldn't have to accept a fast in that particular shul, because... You know, it's not communal. It's in that particular shul. You could have shetiv beis shochach ve'achal. Interesting one. I do not know pshat in this halacha. I don't understand this. I don't know what that means. Shulchan Aruch Seif Gimel tells us follows: shochach ve'achal. Okay. Person now forgot and he ate on a fast day. He forgot and he ate. There was this packet of this nicely. Freshly baked ogolach, he forgot. He made the mezonis and he started eating it. Ali soy bifneim kilo ochal. He shouldn't show in front of others that he's eaten already. Val yinak idunim be'atzmoy, and he shouldn't enjoy himself exceedingly. I'm loyma to say, hoil v'achalti me'at oichal abe, I ate a little bit, might as well eat more. V'afilu shaloi b'vneim, and even not in front of them, also nina gidunim be'atzmo, you're not allowed to have exceeding enjoyments and so we're talking about a case of here, Rabbosai, that a person broke his fast, and he ate, shochach v'achal, and he ate. Ali soy b'vneim, don't show that you've eaten. Don't show that you've eaten. You know, just keep it relaxed. Additionally, another halacha is, if you have eaten, don't eat with additional pleasures and enjoyments more than necessary. Okay. I'm struggling with this a little bit because the first few words of the Shulchan Aruch, Shochach v'achal, person forgot and he ate. Al yisroel b'fneim kilu achal, don't show yourself that you've eaten. What does that mean?
You got the chocolate.
Right? Is it the chocolate in the beard?
Yeah.
Is it the chocolate, yeah? Is it the chocolate in the beard? Is it that? I don't know. How do you show? I can't tell if you're hungry or not. I can't see if you're at supper or not. Exactly, you can't tell. Yeah, so you can't tell. So what does that mean? You've eaten, you shouldn't have. Now don't show it. What do you mean? Don't show it. Right. Perhaps that's what he means. Ali soy b'fneim shekilu achal. Don't show that you've eaten. So don't. Just keep it quiet, like, no, don't tell people, maybe, yeah. Right, now, Sif Dalet Rabbosai. Sif Dalet may or may not be related.
What is the issue about
it was a mistake. I don't think it's Maris Ayin in the conventional sense. It's about not making a weakness in the fast. You know, if people start eating and all that, it makes a certain atmosphere. So I think it's much more about the atmosphere.
To say to you, you mentioned earlier that I think someone said if you accidentally break a fast, it's as if you haven't fasted.
Yeah.
So would you then technically be able to continue eating later if you accidentally break that?
So we learned earlier that if a person by mistake ate, then he should not.
He shouldn't. Even though it's as if he hasn't fasted.
Yeah, correct. He should fast another. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Siv Dalet may or may not be related to COVID. It was discussed in the contemporary poskim. Mitzvah Leharev Atzmoy Bishnasa. But this is changing topic now, Rabbi Yisai, changing topic. This is talking about now. In a situation where chas v'shalom, there is a famine in the world. Famine in the world. Shulchan Aruch now tells us, what is the right behavior and the right protocol when there's a famine in the world, a great crisis. Mitzvah l'harib es atzmoi b'shnas ha'avoin. A person should l'harib loshen rav should. Yes, Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot and Ches. The Hainu sheyoichal betzimtzum, eat limited in a eat limited amounts. Even if you may still have in your cupboard, you may have food, but if everybody else is in a situation of a famine, in a stretched situation, you also don't now make your five-course meal. Don't have now your party. You may have, so you are lucky enough, you're privileged, you got a bit more left in the... No, but don't, everybody else is in a difficult situation. You also, don't be extravagant in such a situation. Absolutely, that's the Makor. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So which is very similar to what we just learned earlier, that even if you are, we learned in a minute ago that alyanik atzmoi idunim, even if you may be allowed to, don't be extravagant. You also now, you may have, but don't be extravagant. Ve'oso l'shamash mitosoi, you also know how to have relations, mental relations, chutz m'leil tvila, unless it is leil tvila, which would be permitted, mikmanat is permitted, v'lecha suche bonim, and couples who don't have children. Perish leminuy bonim muta. So couples who don't have children yet would be permitted, mitzvah, but and also late tefillah. But otherwise, also leshamash mitosoi. The Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Cotton tests also leshamash tzorich ha'adam lino ktsar be'atzmoi. A person has to make a bit of afflict himself, have some element of tzar, element of restriction of tzar, of agony. If there's rav in the world, if there's famine and agony in the world, and there's a global a difficult situation, person has to first of all restrict in terms of his eating and also be poyrish as well. The question that was posed 1.5 years ago when the start of the pandemic was as to whether this halacha would also apply, because it's not just in terms of a famine. Question was also, you know, it's a global, any global crisis, not just a famine, would be categorized. And that what about the global pandemic as well. That was discussed. When there's wars, chas v'shalom, this halacha will apply as well. That person should be married with atzmoi and consider the tzar of the community at large. Interesting, b'tzorich mitzvah. Interesting. It's a good question. I don't know. Good question. I don't know. See, hey, kol hapoyeish min hatzibu. Whoever is distancing himself from the tzibu, eino roye benechmoson. Whoever distances himself from the community, Einoi Roi Benechmoson, does not see ultimately the Nechama. How are we going to translate Nechama?
Consolation.
Consolation. And whoever joins the pain, the agony of a community, Zoiche will merit the Roi and will see Benechmoson consolation. Person has to join the general feeling and situation of the community. Don't say, well, it's not really my problem. It's nothing really got to do with me. I'm all right. I'm okay. This is their problem, not mine. Person has to be able to join the community on a level of and therefore kol ha'poyeish min hatzibur. A person has to it's always feel the community. Has to feel the feelings of the community, and that also applies to the simchas of a community as well. The mashkichim, the balei musar say that it's not just when it comes to the bad things, when there's a simcha in town or there's a joyous occasion in town, person should also be able to join the simcha and not just be jealous or bitter or want nothing to do with me. On the contrary, there's a simcha taking place in town, person has to be able to feel connected to it as well. Okay.
That's something I just found from Rabbi Friend on the Parsha. That's very good. So he says, So he titles it, "It All Stems from the Same Source." He says, the parsha contains the plague of the attack of the snakes, as we see. In order to stop the plague, Moshe was told, make for yourselves a serpent and place it on a flagpole. So the antidote for the attack by the snakes was to fashion a copper serpent and place it on top of a banner. It says, anyone who was bitten by the snake and would look at the banner and become healed. So Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, he notes the irony of the fact that the cure for the snake bites should be itself a snake. So he said, wouldn't it be more logical to put the opposite thing on the banner? Put on the banner, he says, a bottle of anti-snake serum or anti-poison serum. You know, why put a snake? You know, the snake is killing everyone. Well, then to heal them, put a snake. It doesn't really seem right. So he said, one would think that the last thing in the world that would be effective as a cure could be the snake itself. So what is the symbolism of the fact that the cause of the problem is itself the item to look at in order to cure the problem? So he says, so Chaim Shlomovitz says, he answers that when a person becomes angry with someone, he may yell at him, or he might even strike him. On the other hand, when we love someone, we kiss or embrace the person. These two different emotions, anger and love, engender two different manifestations. So with God, on the other hand, everything is from the same source. So when he punishes us, it is out of it. When he punishes us, it is not out of anger. It is either in order for us to grow from the experience, or in order for the experience to atone for us, or in order to test us in some way. So whatever the explanation, God never acts out of spite or anger. Therefore, the same source for the pain can be the same source for the cure. So the snake caused the pain, and the same snake can cause the cure, because even the pain was a form of God's love. So he quotes a pasuk in Devarim. It says, "For as the father disciplines his children, this is how the Lord disciplines you." So when a father disciplines his children, it should never be out of anger. Discipline should always serve the purpose of the child's need to rectify him or herself. So therefore, it is perfectly legitimate that the same snake that killed can be the snake that brings life. It all comes from the same source of love and concern for his children.
Really nice.
Nice, short and sweet. Bill,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
great, thank you so much. Shkoyach. I wish you a very good Shabbos.